Well, I've got a number of titles for this teaching, and I don't know which one to use. So, one of them is a journey. Another title would be an expansion of that, a journey in the garden. I kind of like the third one, though. Watering your brain.
Oh, that's
Interesting.
Okay.
No,
You don't like the third one?
I actually do.
All right.
Oh.
Well, life is a journey, isn't it? We all are on the journey of life, and it can be like a garden. There's great analogies, obviously, in the Word and in life as we live life, go through different episodes, growing. Things are sown in our life, right? And we grow from it. We've got weeds to pull, things going on in our life. But for us as believers, our journey is a walk with the Heavenly Father, isn't it? And what is our map?
The Bible.
The Bible, the Word of God. And we can go to a number of different places in the Word tonight to illustrate a journey and walking with the Father. But I would like to go to Psalms, if you would. Psalm, the first Psalm, Psalm 1. Okay? So if you'd go there, Psalm 1:1. Actually, let's start in verse 2, okay? In verse 2 of chapter 1, or Psalms 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate how often?
Day and night.
Day and night. And this is talking about the man that's blessed that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If we read the first verse, I probably should have read the first verse to get the better context, but it's talking about the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But his delight is in the Lord, right? The law of the Lord. And it's talking about the Word of God, okay? The Word of God is his delight, and he meditates day and night, and he's going to be like, this is an analogy, he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth or doeth shall prosper. So the analogy of a man that doesn't walk by ungodly counsel, but delights in God's word and meditates day and night, he's like that tree planted. And I think that's a key word to appreciate. You know, a lot of seeds kind of float around. I know in my garden, I'll have things prop up. I didn't put them there. They floated in the air, or some bird dropped them. But this is talking about planted. And where is this tree planted? By the river of living waters, okay? Or not living waters, but the rivers of water. Best place to plant, right? Be next to the water. It's always there. I've got I got plants and gardens and things and around this house, and there's one plant that I got to keep an eye on, and it's called a golden berry. It's a neat plant because the fruit of it, how can I explain it? It has like a almost like a paper shell, and in that shell you open that up. And there's this golden berry, a beautiful, looks like a big pearl. It's golden color, and it tastes good.
Oh, it's a, well, I'm sorry.
It's a plant, yeah, it's
Yeah,
a fruited plant, and but invariably, I'll go by it, and all of a sudden I'm, oh my gosh, it's starting to wither. And I'm sure maybe you've experienced that if you've forgotten to water plants or whatever, they start to sag and limp. And so I'll pour a bunch of water on it. A couple hours later, It's back in action. You know, it looks normal, pretty good. And if it was planted by a river of waters, I wouldn't have to worry about it, would I? But see, this is the analogy God is sharing in the journey of a believer. And the result is that it would prosper, right? Whatsoever he do, it shall prosper. Now, the next verse shares the opposite. The ungodly are not so, this is verse 4, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So the ungodly, really, in their life, they only have one alternative when you think about it. And that's to turn to God. It's the only alternative they have. I mean, they're living life in the world. The only alternative they have, if they really want to live a true life, would be to turn to God. So, yeah, the results of the ungodly, not very good, are they? Christians have a choice. Obviously, Christians made a choice to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, get born again of God's Spirit, but they still have a choice because they're not possessed by the Holy Spirit. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They receive a new identity. They are a new creation in Christ, and yet they have freedom of will. And they have a choice. Their journey, yes, it's secure. They have eternal life. But as they move through life, they have a choice. And that choice can be to live like the ungodly if they want, right? Live by the dictates of the world. Or maybe they could live like that tree that's been planted by the water and is nurtured all the time, 24/7. And how is that done? Meditating how often? Day and night. Day and night with the Word of God. That makes the difference. It really does. The key is to choose God's Word. And that's what we want to be able to do, is choose God's Word in our journey. I knew for me personally, I've made it a project to go through my mind certain verses that I have memorized. I'm not very good at memorizing stuff. Some people are really good at it. I tend not to be, but I work at it. And I think I've shared with you before, like Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. And so what a great verse. My life has been enlightened. I know the hope of my calling. And so I have that in my mind. I can remind myself. I could have a bad day, and yet if I say in my mind what the Word says, I could be reminded. The love of Christ, right? May comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length, depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which what? Passes knowledge. My goodness, yeah, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, it says, Ephesians 3:18. So there's other verses, but my point is, water your brains, right? Water your brains with what? The Word of God. Day and night, meditate. That's a good way to do it. But that's where I came up with watering your brain, okay? So let's take a look at Galatians. I want to show you Galatians here. Galatians 1:6. The book of Galatians is a correction epistle where they were kind of off the ball. Well, they were off the ball. And so we know that God's Word communicates either through doctrine, reproof, and correction, right? which is instruction in righteousness. And so we see this correction in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The word I marvel, some of the translations go, I am shocked.
Read the NLT this week.
What is the other?
It says, I am shocked.
I am shocked.
That you are turning away so soon from God who called you to himself through the love and mercy of Christ.
Yeah.
You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news.
Yeah. So, which is not another, verse 7, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then verse 8 blows my mind, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, would you think an angel from heaven would preach any other gospel than what was true? So what a figure of speech there. I mean, there's a great emphasis there. The point is to get the right gospel, the right word of God that's been rightly divided. So, but we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Accursed. Wow. So, yeah, pretty wild here. Let's go to chapter 3. This wonderful correction to the Galatians continues. Verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know, Christians in their journey have that choice. Are they going to go back to the flesh or stick with the Spirit that they were born again with? Have you suffered, verse 4, so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? So, yeah, our journey, as we move along, it's so, so important that the Word of God stays active in our minds. And that's why I think about my mind. If I don't think about the Word for a few days, my mind gets limp. It gets dry, right? So I put some water, God's Word, on my mind, and I come back to life. I'm like the golden berry, right? But hopefully I do it more often. Day in and day out, day and night, as the psalmist encouraged us to do. So we have a mind that needs to be filled with either the Word of God or the Word of man. And what really makes the difference, obviously, is the Word of God. There's a wonderful parable, and we're going to look at it quickly. We could really get into this in detail, but let's just read it in chapter 4 of Mark. Chapter 4 of Mark, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Okay, and this is the sower and the seed, as many people call it. Now, there's four cases here, four aspects of the word being sowed. And here's the first one, verse 15, chapter 4. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, who comes in immediately? Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So if it's just kind of off to the side, this word is sown off to the side, not in the depth of the heart, guess who comes along and rips it right out real quick? The old bird, the adversary. He just rips it right out because he doesn't want you to believe the word. Verse 16, and these, the second one here, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves because of the stones. They have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time, but afterward, when afflicted or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Boy, that's one, you know, second category. The next category, verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So in our life's journey, as we water our brains with the word of God, we've got to really have it stick. We've got to be consistent so that the adversary doesn't take it out, so that when we establish roots, it stays put. And we don't let the cares of this world interrupt the truth of the word living in our heart. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruits, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So on that good ground, that ground that has meekness, that wants to know, that is hungry for the truth, look out, because there's going to be great fruit out of that ground in a beautiful way. You know, we talk about the renewed mind as the key to power. And for the believer that is living life, is on a journey of life, they've got to renew their mind all the time because the challenges are there, aren't they? We renew our minds as Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's so, so important that we stay watering our brain with the truth of God's word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's an important aspect as we journey along in this life. If we get any weeds of worldly thoughts, we pick them out and we replace it with God's word. Don't let your brain wilt and go limp spiritually. Keep watering it with the word of God. There's a great verse. We looked at Galatians here. Galatians 6:9, I'll quote it for you. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So as believers, we don't faint. We don't cower to the temptations of the adversary. But we stay put on the word of God. We stay put. We stay the course and keep watering our brain with the word of God. And then I know... I'm going to close with this, these two verses, and I love these two verses because it just shows how God thinks of us and cares for us, and this is how I want to close out this sharing tonight, and it's Psalms 139, 17, and 18. Psalms 139, 17, and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them.
Mm-hmm.
If I should count them, they are more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God's wonderful thoughts of us. His care for us is so numerous, it's like the sand of the sea, right? Wow. God wants the best for us, and as we stay faithful, watering our brains with the Word of God, we will see fruit in our lives 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. Who knows? Okay?
Amen.
All right. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful Word that we can hold on to, that we can meditate day and night, that we can be like that tree planted by the water and have that consistency of nourishment of your Word in our lives. Thank you for making us your own and giving us the privilege to journey with you. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.